This week, August 4th, 2015, on The Digital Story, Arca Swiss Love, Olympus Air, First Impressions, Ringo Starr, all this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have a roller bag of goodies for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about Arca Swiss. No one ever talks about Arca Swiss, but this tripod mount quick release plate system has really changed my life, at least my life whenever I need a set of sticks to set my camera on. I've got to talk about it because there are some interesting things happening in this little neck of the woods there. And then the Olympus Air, I have one, and I have my first impressions, and I'll just save that for the second story. I'll try to curb my enthusiasm until then. And then, of course, we have a weekly update. We have some Virtual Camera Club news. I have all sorts of goodies for you, so let's get to it. The weekly update. Seeing the Unseeable. Fujifilm releases infrared version of its flagship X-T1 camera. Imaging Resource reports, Fujifilm has thrown the photography world a curveball. Today, the Japanese photography company introduced an infrared version of its flagship X-T1 mirrorless camera, the X-T1 IR. Similar in every other regard to its sibling, the X-T1 IR's sensor captures a different light from the electromagnetic spectrum, including ultraviolet, infrared, and visible. Specifically, Fujifilm states it captures between 380 nm to 1000 nm, much more than the human eye, approximately 390 to 700 nms, or other sensors are capable of capturing. All right, so a dedicated infrared camera. Now, of course, Fujifilm says that this camera is for professional applications for medical and probably criminal work. But of course, anyone into astrophotography and fine art black and white is probably really going to desire this camera. The question with IR always seems to be the same, that are you really going to pony up for a dedicated camera that just shoots infrared? Now, there are huge advantages to doing that, as opposed to the way that I do it, which is use these, you know, really dense filters on regular cameras and have these very long exposure times. When you have a dedicated IR camera, infrared camera, then it really behaves like a normal camera, except you're capturing infrared and you shoot at normal shutter speeds and all that good stuff. So if you're really into it, or if it's part of your job, then this looks like, wow, what a great way to go, a Fujifilm X-T1 for your infrared camera. Pretty exciting stuff. Now, out of my league, but I just love thinking that this thing exists. In other news, Ringo Starr talks to Conan about his photos during the Beatles years. Petapixel reports, earlier this year, former Beatles drummer Ringo Starr made an appearance on Conan O'Brien's late-night talk show. One of the subjects discussed during the interview was Starr's new photo book titled Photograph, which contains rare and unseen photos captured by Ringo during his childhood, his years in the Beatles, and beyond. In the 2 to 5 minute clip, which is part of the story, and there's a link to the story, Ringo shares about a few of the photos in the book, which will be released on September 21st for $35. Now, I actually really like things like this. When someone on the inside, in this case, Ringo Starr on the inside of the Beatles, is taking pictures, and those pictures aren't publicized or used. I mean, they're for his private enjoyment, at least at that point. And then some years later, those pictures are published and we get to see inside this world that we always wondered about when it was actually happening. And Ringo is a decent photographer. I saw some of the shots. I watched the clip where he was on Conan, and it was very Ringo, very Conan in terms of their personalities and their banter. But they did show a few of the images, and it was fun to see. There are images that I haven't seen before that are interesting and, you know, that have a bit of nostalgia for those of us that were, you know, big on the Beatles when they were happening in years later. So it's that kind of book, and I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun for you to know about. It's $35, so it's not like you have to pay, you know, $80-$90 for this thing. It's fairly reasonable. And if you were a Beatles fan or are a Beatles fan and you want an inside peek and you want to see how Ringo handles the camera, it's probably worth checking out. And even if you don't want to buy the book, the clip is connected to the link that I put in the show notes. That's kind of fun to watch, just to see Ringo and Conan talking a bit about the book. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, Arca Swiss Love. So I'll read a little bit that I wrote. This is from the show notes, just because it has the correct model numbers and everything in it. But then I'm going to talk more about this mounting system that I just think is fabulous and has become the mounting system of choice for me on all my tripods. So anyway, here we go. I now have Arca Swiss compatible heads on all of my tripods. For my sticks that didn't originally ship with these plates, I replaced the heads with Joby Ballhead X, which is a $59 ball head with Arca Swiss compatible plate that has panning adjustment in addition to the ball head itself. My latest tripod, the Enduro Gran Turismo, ships with an Arca Swiss compatible head that's absolutely wonderful. Then for added convenience, many of my cameras have Arca Swiss plate type grips, so I don't even have to attach a quick release plate to mount the camera. For my DSLRs, I'm using the Joby UltraFit hand strap with UltraPlate, $35, so I can slide the camera into the tripod mount at any time. And for the Olympus EM5 Mark II, I use the Olympus External Metal Grip ECG2, $149. That's also totally Arca Swiss compatible. So, okay, so now all you don't have to worry about the names and links and all that stuff. I put all of that in the show notes, so you can just refer to it at your convenience. Here's, though, what I'm driving at. For years, you know, I had all these different quick-release plates and systems for my tripods. You know, Manfrotto had, you know, their own thing. Slick had their own thing. It goes on and on. First of all, you only have one plate if you don't buy anything extra that comes with the tripod, and I rarely travel with just one camera. And so inevitably I end up taking, this is in the old days, this is in the bad days, so I would inevitably end up taking the plate off one camera and putting it on another and fooling around with it. Second of all, the plate would kind of stick out, right? So, you know, my camera bag's pretty tightly packed, as anyone who follows Nimble Photographer knows. And so then if I wanted to leave the plate on, it would just kind of, you know, stick where it's supposed to go because now it's protruding. And if you set the camera down on the table, it's kind of wobbly, blah, you know, and it's just like all this stuff. It just really, honestly, it drove me wacko. It bothered me more than I wanted to let on that it bothered me. So then really, thanks to Joby, I got turned on to the Arca Swiss quick release mount. Now, the Arca Swiss system had been around for a long time, but in the early days, at least what I remember, it was more on very expensive tripod heads. Even the plates were pricey. And the whole thing was just sort of out of my realm. I never really was the kind of guy that could pay, you know, $350 just for the head, let alone the sticks and all that sort of stuff. So I didn't use it. Then when Joby created Ballhead X and then their own Arca Swiss compatible plate called the Ultra Plate, they were very reasonable. Ballhead X, you can get for $59. The link's in the show notes. And the Ultra Fit hand strap, which is a really nice hand strap that works for DSLRs, with the Arca Swiss compatible plate, $35. So suddenly, you know, now I'm in the game. So I put the hand strap with the plate on both of my DSLRs. So that's what I have on it. They just stay on there. And it's a nice long plate, has a low profile. It just feels like it's part of the camera. It has, you know, the very comfortable hand strap, the whole deal. Looks great, functions fantastic. So now whenever I want to put one of the DSLRs on a tripod, then it just goes right in. I don't have to put a plate on. I don't have to fool around with anything. I just, you know, set the tripod up, put the camera on, and take the picture. It's the way that I always thought it should be. And then for the Olympus, when they released the OMD EM5 Mark II, they created this cool hand grip for it. I mean, I really like this hand grip. It's a metal hand grip. It feels like it's made out of, you know, the aircraft aluminum stuff that they use. Has a cutaway section in the bottom so you can get to the battery without taking off the grip, which I love. And then the grip itself that runs the whole length of the bottom of the camera is all Arca Swiss. So it just slides right into any tripod that has an Arca Swiss head on it. It's just so cool. Now, the Olympus plate also has an attachment that'll go up the left side if you want. And so that you can have the plate on two sides. I don't do that because I like having access to the ports on the left side. Plus, I like swinging out the articulated LCD. So I leave it off. But I do carry it with me in case I need it. So again, same thing with the EM5 Mark II, which has high resolution shot and great HDR performance. Whenever I need to put it on a tripod, it's just ready to go. I just slide it right on. And then, so I have the Joby Ballhead X on my Mi Photo tripod, and I have it on my another compact tripod that I like a lot that I never know how to, say the name correctly. It's a Giotti, I believe. It's Italian, and I always butcher it. Those of you that have it know what it is. I love it. It's a cool little tripod. And then now my latest tripod, the Enduro, came with an Arca Swiss compatible head on it. That's really wonderful. So everything that I shoot with has the heads on them. And then my main cameras that I would put on a tripod have plates on them all the time. And it's just so easy. You know, and what happens is, when you have a system like this, whether it's what we're talking about today or some other system that just works for you, then you use a tripod more often, right? Then you'll do it more often because it's not as much of a pain as it was originally. Fooling around, putting on the plates, taking off the plates, you know, doing all that kind of stuff that just, like I said, just made me nuts in the past. The bottom line is that I have really come to love this system, the Arca Swiss compatible system. And we're seeing more and more different types of compatible plates come out. We're seeing more grips with it integrated into it. We're just seeing more stuff now. It's really proliferating. If you use multiple cameras and you use multiple tripods, this really pays off. My guess would be most of you that use tripods on a regular basis probably have already switched over to Arca Swiss compatible. If you haven't, and you do use a tripod, you do shoot HDR, high resolution, time lapse, you know, all that kind of stuff, then really look into this. And like I said, a good starter system is the Joby Ballhead X, which you can put on any tripod you can remove the head on. It's, universal. It has the panning control, it has the ball head control, so it has the two separate knobs, which I have to have on a ball head. I have to have the panning control. I can't have just a ball head without it because then I can't pan. If you ever tried to pan with a ball head without the panning control, it's like, no, it's horrible. You can't do it. It doesn't work. But anyway, you can get these Joby Ballhead X, and the link that I have is to Amazon, where they're $59. It's a quality head. It's not top of the line, you know, not like doesn't compare to a $400 head. Certainly compares to a $150 head, though. And you can play with it and see what you think. It comes with a plate, and then you know you can get plates all sorts of different places. Integrated in grips and so forth, and give it a try. I tell you, if you're not in love with Arca Swiss right now, it's probably only because you haven't dated. So anyway, that's my ode to Arca Swiss, and what it has done, it has brought love back to my tripod life. Story number two, the Olympus Air first impressions. So I have just spent an afternoon with my Olympus Air. It just came today. Fortunately, it came early in the day. So I got, you know, that's so funny. You know, you're going to totally be able to relate to this, I know. So I get all my serious work done in the morning. You know, get my writing, my publishing, you know, meet my deadlines, do all that stuff. Got all that taken care of in the morning. So that when UPS came with the Olympus Air, I'd be able to spend time with it, so then I could write about it and put it on today's show. And it worked out perfectly. And I have to tell you, I love this thing. You know, it was funny. When I first saw it, well, actually when Olympus first told me about it, and, you know, then they had, you know, they do little previews for us in the press that cover them. I was going, that's neat. It looks a lot like the Sony thing, which I wasn't high on the Sony thing at all. I really wasn't. So, I was lukewarm, maybe a little warmer than lukewarm. Whatever's between lukewarm and hot, that's kind of what I was. And then I started reading a bit more about it. But then I really started thinking about it and thinking about, wow, I've got some great lenses for this thing. I mean, you already know that I love the 14-42 Easy Zoom. I just think it's a cool lens. I have two of them, and I talked about it last week. And I have it with the auto lens cap, which I just love too. So anyway, that's a perfect lens for the Olympus Air. I have the Panasonic 20mm f1.7, another great lens for it. So I said, you know, that's kind of neat. And then I started reading about the functionality, started reading about all the apps they already have for it, and I got kind of excited about it. So then what I decided to do is pre-order it so that, you know, I could get the first wave. Now, I could have got a review model from Olympus, but I didn't want to do that because I had a feeling I wasn't going to want to send it back. And, you know, that's the tough thing. I don't get review models for things that I think I'm going to want to keep. It's too hard to send them back. Then you have to order one, and then they're back ordered, and you know, it just turns out to be a big mess. So let me give you some of the attributes of this thing, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about. First of all, terrific image quality. It is, you know, it's the Micro Four Thirds sensor in there, you know, with the same guts essentially that you're going to get in almost any Olympus camera right now. It takes great pictures. It accepts the entire Micro Four Thirds lens catalog. Big plus right there. It has up to 1/16,000 shutter speed, and it can capture at 10 frames a second. It's an electronic shutter, so it's not a mechanical shutter, it's an electronic shutter, so it can do this stuff. It has fast connectivity and good real-time performance with my iPhone 5S, and that's what I'm using with it right now. It connects either via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, and boy, when it's connected via Wi-Fi, which is a snap to do, it only takes a second to set up that connection. The performance is fantastic. I mean, I'm looking at my iPhone, which is attached to the back of it, and I'm panning a scene, and it's keeping up pretty darn well. And everything just works very nicely. It feels almost like an integrated camera. That tells you how good the connectivity is, which was one of my concerns before. You know, having wireless connectivity, I thought, God, you know, the performance is going to drive me nuts. Good performance. excellent mounting system, very comfortable to hold, the whole deal. Putting lenses on is great. The mounting system on the back of the camera is very clever. Holds the iPhone or Android device at an angle, at really a very comfortable viewing angle. So framing the shots is very easy. You know, it has a tripod mount on the bottom. Right now, I have a Joby micro tripod on the bottom, which is just perfect. I love these little micro tripods anyway. And it just looks like it was designed for this thing. So it has the tripod mount. It comes with a very nice wrist strap. And I mean, the whole package is just really well designed. Has a shutter button on top. That's a two-position shutter button. So you press it lightly and it focuses and locks in the focus and exposure. And then you can press it down all the way to take the picture. Or you can take the picture on the back of the iPhone, because you know your iPhone is like having a touch screen for the camera. So you can control focusing that way. And if you're using the Easy Zoom, when you're holding this thing in your hand, the zooming ring, I mean, I'm really thinking now that what Olympus did was they designed this lens, the 14-42 Easy Zoom, for this Olympus Air. And then they just had the lens done first, so they released it. Is a great companion to the OMD EM10. But when you look at this lens on the Olympus Air, they really do look like they were designed for each other. Very easy to zoom. You know, you hold the thing. I hold the thing in my left hand and then take pictures with my right hand. The whole ergonomics of it is actually quite good. Nice selection of iOS apps available with lots of features, and I'm assuming the same is true for Android. So even right now, we already have like 6 or 7 apps for this, and you know, there's fun. You can do art filters, you can have a regular camera app. There's some other goodies that I think are pretty neat. It's the iOS apps are really well designed too. I mean, I'm sure they learned a lot with, you know, OI Share, because all that knowledge seems to be in the first release of this, where in the early days of OI Share, it was a little crude, I thought. Nah, not this suite of apps. They're really, really nice. And it feels like a real camera when it's in your hand. It really does. And the way that it holds the iPhone on the back is so snug. It the whole thing feels integrated. Nothing flimsy about it at all. Very well designed. High quality materials. And then, you know, the thing about it is it's pretty reasonably priced. $299 for just the camera. But you can also get it in a kit with the Easy lens, the 14-42. And if you don't already have that kit, I would get it. I would definitely get it. And I think the kit's $499, because that you're going to use that Easy lens anyway. And then I do recommend the accessory auto lens cap. It's really cool and is perfect for this setup. Now, there are a few compromises because of this super compact size. They had to leave a few things out. And one of them is no sensor-based image stabilization. So you're going without IS when you're using it. And you know, those of us that shoot Olympus a lot, we're so spoiled. We're so used to having image stabilization all the time, no matter what lens we put on there. Well, it's not true with this. So you gotta keep, you know, the old rules in mind in terms of shutter speed and all that. But what's interesting is, if you put a Panasonic lens on there that has optical stabilization, it works on this camera. So for example, my 35-100 millimeter Panasonic compact zoom, I have the compact one, it has Mega OS built into it. And that'll work with this. I haven't tested it yet, but that's what the literature says. The other thing that we don't get is the electronic sensor cleaning. Again, we've become very spoiled, those of us that shoot Olympus a lot, with the sensor always being clean and no dust. That isn't on this. And part of what I'm thinking is I'm probably not going to be changing the lenses a lot. Like, for example, I'll probably have the 14-42 on there 90% of the time. If I am in a low light situation, I can put the Panasonic 20 millimeter f1.7 on there for those situations. But I don't think I'll be changing lenses a lot. I like the configuration as it is right now. Those compromises aside, I tell you, this is a cool little thing. I cleared up a spot in the camera bag for it. When you look at it, it's about the size of a Micro Four Thirds lens, even when you have the pancake zoom on there. So it doesn't take up much space. You have a backup camera with you. You can shoot it without the iPhone or any smartphone, by the way, if you want to go GoPro, you know, and just sort of line it up and shoot it. And I had some luck with that when I was shooting with the DXO-1 camera. And I anticipate that I'll be able to do that quite nicely with this. And there's just a lot of stuff you can do with it. You can, because it has a tripod mount, which I think is such a big deal, you can set this guy up, you know, close to a bird feeder or something like that, and then sit back in your house, watch the action on your iPhone or your iPad, and then take a picture when something interesting happens. Really nice. Even though it is $299, it's not like it's your $1,100, you know, OMD EM5 Mark II. So if something bad did happen, your loss is not nearly as much. I'm going to have it in Las Vegas. So I'm going to Photoshop World, not this week. This week I'm hanging around, and then we have our Moving from Aperture workshop on Friday and Saturday. I get a day off on Sunday, and then I fly to Las Vegas on Monday, and I'll be there all week at Photoshop World. So I'll be shooting with this thing at Photoshop World. I'm really looking forward to testing out. I think Las Vegas is just a great place to test this. So I'll have a follow-up report, and I'll have more images. But I have to tell you right now that my first impression of this device is very cool. And you know, it's an open platform, so you know, we're going to see probably all sorts of interesting things develop for it. Already, you can use it with an Apple Watch, and so the Apple Watch will talk to it, and you can line up your pictures with your watch and shoot with them. I mean, I kind of want an Apple Watch now, but I can't. I just bought this. But anyway, so there'll be more to report on it. There are folks on Facebook right now that are writing about it. I know that Mike Boyne is doing a lot of work with it and publishing a lot of photos. So this is pretty exciting stuff. And if you're already a Micro Four Thirds shooter, I think you're going to like it a lot. It has a very high nimbleosity rating. Two thumbs up. Okay, let's take a stroll over to the screening room. Today's screening room selection is Photoshop CC Essential Training 2015 with Julianne Kost. So as I have mentioned before, Julianne is my favorite Photoshop and Lightroom instructor. And if you're learning Photoshop, the updated version of Photoshop, Creative Cloud, and you want to know the new features, you want to brush up on some of the old stuff, she is such a terrific teacher for this kind of stuff. She is our featured movie in the screening room. And so you can go over there by going to lynda.com, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And the screening room selection should be there. I'll double check to make sure that they update it as they should. So you can watch the introduction. You can learn more about this title. And if you're a Photoshop user, this is probably going to be on your must-watch list. So today's selection, Photoshop CC Essential Training 2015 with Julianne Kost. You can watch Julianne and some other very excellent movies by going over to the Digital Story screening room, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. Let's take care of a few Virtual Camera Club items. I want to start out with the Fall Color Safari West Workshop coming up on October 23rd through 25th. We have a couple seats open. This is the flagship workshop of the season. It's It's been going for 6 years. I love this workshop. I can't wait to get out to Safari West. I can't wait to get out into the vineyards. I can't wait to do the model shoot. So much fun stuff. All you have to do, if you want to become a part of it, is go over to the workshops page at The Digital Story. There's a link in the nav bar that says workshops. And there you can use the send me info form. It takes 3 seconds to fill out, three fields. And the third field is optional. And I'll send you a registration form. I really think that if you're looking for some fun photography in the fall, this would be, I don't know, I think it's an excellent choice. Thanks to everyone who recently reviewed the Digital Story podcast in iTunes. I love having those fresh reviews there. And if you haven't done it and you like the show, go over there. You know, let people know what you think. It really helps when new people come to the show and they want to know, hey, is this worth my time or not? Hopefully what you say will encourage them to subscribe. And also, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header in the box halfway down the second column on thedigitalstory.com. That helps support the site. If you know you're going to order from B&H, if you know you're going to order from Amazon, if you just stop by our place first, click on that tile, and then find your item on Amazon or B&H, then I get a little piece of the action, but those little pieces add up and pay the bills at the end of the month. And then I also want to mention Sizzlepix, SIZZLPIX.com. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they are magnificent output specialists for your favorite images. And the reason why I say your favorite images is because, okay, let's be honest, we can't afford to have, you know, all of our stuff sizzled, and we don't have the wall space to hang it up. But when you do something special, it's like celebrating. When you have a major accomplishment, I think it's very important that you celebrate it. You know, that you acknowledge the moment, that you acknowledge what you've done. I also think that when you take a very special photograph, you need to celebrate that. And the best way to do it is to make a Sizzlepix of it. By doing so, you bring out everything that that image has to offer. You already think it's a great image. I'm sure that you'll think it's even better when you get that Sizzlepix in the mail. Then you put it up on the wall and you're making a statement. You're making a statement that I am capable of great photography, and there's the proof right there. And then other people can look at it and be amazed. And I think it's important. I have a lot of artwork up on the wall here at the studio. I have artwork on the walls at home. I just think it's an important thing to make your statement, to say, yes, I have chops. I don't just carry around a camera. I actually can make some beautiful things. If you want to make something beautiful, put it on the wall, SIZZLPIX.com. That is like a retina display, a 5K ultra high definition retina display that you hang on the wall to blow people away. And then finally today, I want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper. They've got some things going on. I think I'm going to do a webinar for them before too long. And I'm going to talk about, or what I plan on talking about anyway, is using Micro Four Thirds cameras to create great imagery via print. So, you know, we're gonna go back to the capture phase, how to use these cameras to make great prints that you can hang on the wall and share with other people. And so that'll be a fun little webinar. And I like it because I like thinking, whether I'm thinking about printing out my inkjet printer or printing out Sizzlepix, I like to think about the whole process from the beginning through the middle to the end when I'm working on these sort of projects. And so I do go back and look at my images again and maybe create different versions of them when I'm going to print on an inkjet printer and I'm going to send out a Sizzlepix. So anyway, that is going to be fun to do, and I'll make the announcement once we get it all nailed down. It's just another way that, you know, these guys at Red River Paper are so involved with the photography community. They have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They publish articles, as I've talked about the last few weeks. They're knee deep into this stuff, and they really love photography just like you and I do. All right, that is going to do it for this week. I can't wait to get this Olympus Air in Las Vegas and start shooting. I think it's going to be fun. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll do some interesting indoor stuff with the Panasonic lens on there. Okay, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I'm going to let you know a little bit about the workshop, because I have done a lot of research on all these different alternatives to aperture. I'll share some of that information with you, so make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a fantastic week. Bye-bye now.